I first started book distribution in my book distribution in Miami Airport. We were only doing Back to Godhead magazines, Mother Nartaka, and also, who else is there? Many wonderful Vaishnavas were distributing a lot of Back to Godheads. Srila Prabhupada's very pleased by this book distribution. Is the Bhagavatam here? Is it underneath here? Is this? Ach. That's the one. Let's see. Is it 11th canto? It is 11th canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading 11th canto, chapter 2, Maharaj Nimi meets the 9 Yogendras. They made a note that we should read the introduction. So I'll read the introduction first and then we can read the shloka. In this chapter, Narada gives instructions in Bhagavad Dharma to the faithful and inquisitive Vasudev by recounting a conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the 9 Yogendras. Greatly eager to see Lord Krishna, Devarshi Narada resided almost exclusively in Dwaraka. Vasudev, bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency, had previously offered worship to the Supreme Lord Ananta for the purpose of getting a son, but had failed to worship him for liberation. Once Narada arrived at the home of Vasudev, who worshipped him according to proper etiquette, greeted him respectfully and requested to hear about pure devotional service, which frees one from all kinds of fear. Narada praised Vasudev's fixed intelligence and then related the ancient history of the conversation between the 9 Yogendras, who were sons of Lord Rishabhadev, and Nimi, the king of Videha. Swayambhuva Manu's son was Priyavrata, his son was Agnidra, whose son was Nabhi. Lord Rishabhadev, the plenary portion of Vasudev, incarnated as the son of Nabhi. The oldest of Rishabhadev's 100 sons was Bharat, an exalted devotee of Narayan, by whose name this earth, previously called Ajanabha Varsha, became famous as Bharat Varsha. 9 other sons of Rishabhadev were widely known as the Navayogendras, Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabudha, Pipalayana, Avirotra, Drumila, Chamasa, and Karabhajana. They were well-versed in knowledge of the self, fixed in their goal, and always striving for perfection. 9 other sons of Rishabhadev took on the duty of Kshatriyas and became masters of the 9 dweeps comprising Bharatvarsha. His other 81 sons became Brahmanas expert in Smriti doctrines who propagated the path of fruitive sacrifice. The 9 Yogendras, free to move without impediment, traveled everywhere as they wished. They were direct associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudan, and wandered freely to give protection to the various planets in the universe. The human body can be lost at any moment, but it is still a very rare attainment, still rarer to get the association of the confidential devotees of the Lord of Vaikuntha while in this very human body. The association of such saintly persons, even for a fraction of a second, bestows all benedictions on the living being. Therefore, King Nimi offered the 9 Yogendras suitable seats, worshipped them, humbled himself with obeisances, and joyfully inquired from them about Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma or pure devotional service to the Lord is the only means of ultimate good fortune for the soul. The Supreme Lord, being pleased by such service, offers his own self to the devotee. In answer to the king's question, one of the nine Yogendra's cubbies spoke as follows, quote, "Those means of advancement which are described by the personality of Godhead himself and which enable even foolish persons easily to achieve perfect self-realization are called Bhagavad Dharma. This Bhagavad Dharma manifested as service to the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord eradicates all fear for the living being. By abiding in Bhagavad Dharma, one will never stumble or fall, even while running with both eyes closed. Whatever one does with his body, mind, words, intelligence, consciousness, senses, and natural proclivities should be offered to Lord Narayan. Living entities averse to the Lord's lotus feet come under the control of the Lord's illusory energy, Maya. They forget the Lord's identity and are trapped by the illusion of identifying with the temporary body. Under the sway of material attraction, they become greatly fearful. Thus, the best thing for them is to surrender their very life energy to a qualified guru and execute worship of the Supreme Lord, the absolute controller of Maya, with pure devotion. Just as by eating one gradually appeases his hunger and with every bite feels more and more satisfied and nourished, a surrendered devotee achieves detachment from all objects other than Krishna, gains direct personal experience of the Lord, and relishes pure love for the Lord all simultaneously." Next, Havir spoke, describing the different characteristics of first-class, second-class, and third-class devotees. One who offers prescribed worship with faith to the deity of Lord Vishnu and has no devotion for Vaishnavas and things related to Vishnu is a materialistic devotee. One who shows love for the Lord, friendship for the Lord's devotees, mercy for the ignorant, and indifferent for the enemies of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is an intermediate devotee. And one who sees the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything and sees everything within the Lord is a topmost devotee. The first class devotees are described in 8 verses, which conclude by stating that the first class devotee keeps the Supreme Lord personally fastened to his own heart with ropes of affection. Lord Hari never leaves the heart of such a devotee. Sri Shuku Vacha Govinda Bhujya Guptayam Dvaravapyam Kurudvaha Avatsin Narado Bhikshan Krishnopasana Lalasaha Shishuku Vacha Govinda Bhujya Guptayam Dvaravatyam Kurudvaha Avatsin Narado Bhikshnam Krishnopasana Lalasa Shishuku Vacha Govinda Bhujya Guptayam Dvarayatyam Kurudvaha Avatsin Narado Bhikshnam Krishnopasana Lalasaha Govinda Bhujya Guptayam yanti rajaha avasin narodo vikshnam Vishnupasanalalasa Vishnupurvacha Govinda Bhuja Guptaya Vatyam Guru Vaha Asidnarubha Vishnam Vishnupasanalalasa Shishuka Vacha Govinda Bhuja Guptaya Dvaravatyam Purudvaha Avatsin Narudo Vikshnam Vishnupasana Lalasa Shishuka Vacha Govinda Bhuja Guptaya Dvaravatyam Kurudvaha Avatsi Narado Vishnam Vishnupasana Lalasaha Mataji Vishuku Vacha Govinda Bhuja Guptaya Dvaravatyam Kurudvaha Avatsin Narado Vikshnam Vishnupasana Lalasa Shishuku Vacha Govinda Bhuja Guptayam Dvaravatyam Kurudvaha Vatsin Narido Vishnam Vishnupasana Lalasaha Shishuku Vacha Shishuka said Govinda, of Lord Govinda, Bhuja, by the arms, Guptayang, protected, Dvaravatyang, in the capital, Dvaravati, Kuru Udvaha, O best of the Kurus, Avatsi dwelled. Narada, Nardamuni, Abhikshnam, constantly. Krishna Upasana, to engage in the worship of Krishna. Lalasaha, who had great eagerness. Translation by and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, eager to engage in the worship of Lord Krishna, O best of the Kurus, Narada Muni stayed for some time in Dwarka, which was always protected by the arms of Govinda. Purport. In the second chapter of this canto, Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service to Krishna, is explained by Narada Muni to Vasudeva, who had inquired with devotion. Narada Muni cites a conversation between King Nimi and the Jayanteyas. According to Jiva Goswami, the word Abhikshnam indicates that although Narada Muni was frequently sent by Lord Krishna here and there, for various pastimes, such as inquiring about the affairs of the world, Narada continuously returned to reside in Dwarka. The word Krishnopasana Lalasa indicates that Narada was very eager to be near Krishna and worship him because of the curse of Daksha, Narada is never allowed to live continuously in one place. Sridhar Swami, however, has pointed out, na tasyang shapadeha prabhava. In Dwarka, there is no influence of curses or other such evils, because Dwarka is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is always protected by his arms, as shown by the word Govinda Bhujya Guptaini. The conditioned souls are struggling within the kingdom of Maya against the cruel laws of material nature, such as birth, death, old age, and disease. But if such conditioned souls have the good fortune to enter the city of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan, and live there under the direct protection of the omnipotent arms of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they will experience the unlimited transcendental bliss of real life, which is eternal and which is meant to be lived in the personal company of God. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a very nectarine part. All parts of Srimad Bhagavatam are nectar, doesn't matter where you have the chance to hear. But it seems very relishable that Narada Muni is so eager to have the association of Krishna, and Vasudeva was very humble and eager to hear more and more about devotional service. So this is what Srila Prabhupada came to deliver all of us, everyone in this world, in the universe. And it's a special movement. This society of Krishna consciousness is very special. If we calculate and see the history of all the struggle and fighting with the mind, the senses, in the material world, all the battles conquering one another. And we heard a nice class yesterday, how so many fathers are killing, or how many sons are killing their fathers. And we even see the history of Taj Mahal and Indian history and all the fights and battles in the material world, because people are struggling, wanting to enjoy this temporary existence, and they're completely lost, and that happiness is fleeting them. It's never available, ultimately. And Srila Prabhupada was very eager to also establish the holy dhams, as we see here. It's described that Narada Muni was always coming back to Dwarka Dham to be personally in the association of Krishna, being protected by Krishna's hands. So also we get that feeling as well. You go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Mathura, you feel the presence of Krishna. And all the temples that Prabhupada has established throughout the world, that same mood is being created by devotees who are coming together, singing, dancing, and glorifying and serving the Lord with their heart. So we'll hear so much coming from the sons of Rishabhadev, Havir, and all the different Navayogendras, speaking about what is the process of devotional service, what it means, who is an advanced devotee, how to recognize him. So we can see by Prabhupada's vision of seeing everyone as a recipient of Krishna. Krishna's in the heart of every living being. Very kind, very merciful, just as Vishal would barge into the room and loud obeisances, and everyone would think, well, Prabhupada, I mean, he may very well have chastised, but he was very patiently seeing that spontaneous, you know, white elephant, you know, it's like we don't really know how to behave properly. We're all very young neophytes. I'm very much immersed as ignorant in ignorance, but somehow Prabhupada is giving all of us some opportunity to be members of his society, to be part of his mission of preaching Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada took the message of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati very seriously to heart, and he had a mission. He was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sent by the Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Guru Parampara. So that way, I'm saying that it's a very rare opportunity to be here in the midst of Kali Yuga, midst of all the chaos going around us. Just as I was coming here, you know, my son, he's got his detective clothes on. He's going, you know, he goes to work at 7 o'clock, a detective in Gainesville. And we can see all the bodily consciousness people. I'm black, I'm white. So, you know, that we have to designate, you know, this community. I'm Christian, I'm Hindu. Totally bodily consciousness is the whole foundation of Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna's complaining to Krishna, but my father, my uncles, my brothers, my cousins, you know, what good will come out of all this fighting? But Krishna, out of great love and devotion for all his sons and daughters, we're all eternal, sometimes sons, sometimes daughters, depends on what body we find ourselves covered by and what sort of mentality and senses. Sometimes you may be in a male body, but act like a female, and, you know, you could even see in the animals, the spirit soul is there. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gorathashe Namaha, he's giving such great benediction and blessings that he's the most merciful incarnation. And that very knowledge that the Navyogendras will be delivering to Vasudev, Srila Prabhupada is delivering that same transcendental knowledge to us. And not only delivering, but showing us how to apply it to our lives. Sometimes it is thought that by practicing this sadhana bhakti, this process of devotion, naturally all the good qualities of the demigods manifest. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana. So, someone may think, well, I just gotta sit back, chant Hare Krishna, read the philosophy, stay in the association of devotees, take lots of prasad, and I'll be okay. But as I heard a nice devotee say yesterday, yes, it's very nice, but also we have to apply ourselves. You know, we have to make the effort as well. Man proposes and God disposes. That proposal means that we're not just sitting there. Arjuna didn't just sit on the chariot and say, Krishna, you fight. I'm going to sit here and just smoke ganja and relax and sleep a little while you take care of all these rascal miscreants. After all, you know, you came to deliver the pious and annihilate the impious. So, and that's what Krishna did. He came, he's killing so many demons and setting things straight. And he thought, well, there's way too many of them. Let's organize this battle of Kurukshetra and bring them all together. And we'll, in one slice, we'll take care of the whole affair. But I want to glorify my devotee. So Krishna's personal, but he also wants to see that we are also personally reciprocating and trying to somehow or other do some service, some seva, to assist our spiritual master in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So devotional service is rare. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam. Raja Vidya is the king of education. Raya Guyam, very confidential knowledge. Although the teaching is there, so many Srimad Bhagavatams are sitting in so many houses all over the world in many languages. Bhagavad Gita, devotees are eagerly, enthusiastically preaching and broadcasting the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, only a handful are coming. And even of those who are seeking some understanding and knowledge, I was just up in New York, we had some kind of family reunion. There was some nice people that were inquiring that, yeah, this material life is just, it seems like there's no point. It's empty. It's, you know, I see generations of people trying to enjoy by engaging themselves in economic development, making money, trying to be happy, with buying all the latest toys, you know, iPhone 6, 7, 8, you know, whatever, all the different things are available, but still, there's no happiness. And that happiness cannot be achieved in the material world. It's very disappointing. It just can't be done, you know. We have a little flickering, we can see it. You know, I do some sankirtan on the streets in New York, and he sees everyone trying to enjoying spirit, thinking that, oh, I will be happy if only I had this girl. I would be happy if I only had this man to protect me. The strong arms protected me. Narada Muni felt protected by the arms of Govinda, but the materialists are thinking that this other person will give me guidance and protection. But within this material world, we have to survive, because I think they will discuss the Varnashram system. Bhagavad Dharma is there, but while we're imprisoned in prison life, there has to be categories. There has to be also those who are the head of society, giving guidance and direction. Pretty soon we're going to have a good head for America. Mr. Trump will probably be there showing us how to go to hell very quickly. Or Hillary, you know, with all her dark secrets in the closet coming out. And everyone understands that material world is just a joke. It's just, you know, dog eat dog, everyone's killing one another. But devotees, those who are striving to become devotees, who are taking advantage. I told my brother, he became a devotee some years ago, 6 years ago. He said, how to increase? You know, I'm hearing, we're chanting, but also reading Srila Prabhupada's books out loud is very nice. Because when you're reading out loud, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, and sometimes you're tired, you have to walk and read out loud. That's also good. You're engaging all your bodily limbs, and that sound vibration is entering beyond the coverings of the modes of material nature. It's benefiting ourselves, and it's benefiting the vibration all around us too, that others are becoming benefited. And by reading out loud, and really trying to allow it to sink in. It's like a, you know, we're like rocks. That water just drips on the rock and rolls off. It doesn't seem to be absorbed and penetrated. You know, we'll read a shloka 20 times, then when it comes time to deliver it, you forget the shloka. So Krishna, sarvasya chaham hridi sanavishto matat smitir gyanam apohanam cha. He's in everyone's heart. And he sees those devotees who want to have his association. He allows it. And we may think, well, why am I not getting the taste? It's that we have to stay in the association of Vaishnavas. It's not that we're independent or think that we're ourselves on our own little canoe. You know, we've got a big boat full of people going to the destination, hopefully the spiritual kingdom. That boat of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, consists of individuals who are eager, enthusiastic, and working on themselves for spiritual life. There are many others in our society who may not be, and we should not just look at the negative aspects and think, oh, if that's what ISKCON's all about, I don't want anything to do with it. And it's like, what is ISKCON? It's Prabhupada. It's the International Society. It's the consciousness of Krishna. So if you don't want anything to do with it, that's okay. But ultimately, we're trying to become Prabhupada's disciples and devotees and followers and follow his teachings and eagerly hear, just like Vasudeva wanted to eagerly hear. We have to be eager. Prabhupada noted that when the opportunity came for his initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, yes, I will initiate him because he is eager to hear me. And Prabhupada confessed, he said, well, I didn't understand everything, hardly anything. My Guru Maharaj is speaking very high philosophy. So philosophy can be very intricate, very philosophical. Tonight you come, you hear Pran Govind Prabhu, he speaks very nicely. And many devotees are very inclined toward philosophical understanding because it's a science. Prabhupada is not some sentiment, some, you know, fanaticism. It's actually based on logic, science, reason. He was very eager to push forward the scientific presentation of Krishna consciousness. And most importantly, he was pushing forward the kirtan. The kirtan in the form of book distribution, lecturing. Many know that I spent some time in Vrindavan. And we have a very beautiful campus preaching program. Many devotees are engaged as thousands of pilgrims are coming to the holy Dham. So our devotees take them on tour of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi Museum, and they give them beads, and they chant one round. I probably told you last time, but it's nice to hear over and over again Srila Prabhupada's books are repeating, we're not the body, we're spirit, soul. But who's realized they're not the body? Anybody? Yeah. Somebody put their hand. Mahatma, put your hand up, or are you sewing? Okay. But we're trying. We're trying to understand we're not the material body, we're spirit, soul. And to live on a spiritual platform means that we need to associate with those who are also on a spiritual platform. So the people, pilgrims, who are very austere and enthusiastic sometimes, there always seems to be some excuse for a festival in India, in Vrindavan in particular. People want to have a lot of singing, dancing, festivities, glorification of the Lord, see the deity, jump up and down with heart and soul, and take nice prasadam. And it seems to happen almost every day, really. It's very intense. Any appearance, disappearance, you know, Vyasa Puja, Rath Yatra, you know, we have the Chandan Yatra coming. So many things. It just gives reason for devotees to come together and bring out their enthusiasm from heart, try to somehow or other be empowered. Not that we have the power ourselves, but empowered means that may Krishna and Srila Prabhupada give me the intelligence so that I can move forward in a very enthusiastic, powerful way. With love. Because it's very easy to find fault, isn't it? We can see so much fault in so many people. People say, well, Lord Nityananda, he went to the bar or something. They went for preaching. And we should always, you know, although we don't want to be naive, as I was telling one devotee yesterday, as trying to be a manager, sometimes I get conflictive reports about people's behavior. And sometimes those personalities are senior people, you know. And unfortunately, because of being a manager, I have to tell the senior people I don't agree with that or I can't deal with that. So I feel personally that maybe, you know, I don't want to offend devotees, but you also have to make decisions, isn't it? So we're hoping that Krishna gives us enough intelligence that we can treat all the Vaishnavas properly and serve them. Because we're seeing here Vaishnava etiquette, that the Narada, he was, you know, received properly with proper etiquette and proper prayers. And we are in the hospitality industry. And if we want to call it industry, since we're in the material world, we're accommodating, inviting so many to come and to share this blessing that Srila Prabhupada has painstakingly given. I was thinking also yesterday, trying to read from the 11th canto, how we were in Govinda's Vaikuntha building in Miami Beach. Our temple was there from like 80 to 89. Many of you were there. And we had the BBT, Jarvita Prabhu and Gopi Paranadana and many others. We had Spanish BBT, Portuguese BBT, English BBT. Mother Jadarani was doing her art there. So there was so much activity going on, and I was seeing how they're doing the proofreading and carrying on. This is Prabhupada's desire to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the devotees working cooperatively together to deliver the same message in the same system, Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport, word for word, comments from the acharyas. So I was appreciating it. This is a great endeavor that devotees are carrying on the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as time goes, we have to rely on each other, that we all have our certain realizations and conclusions. But the ultimate realization is that one should very, very enthusiastically chant the holy name, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this Maha Mantra is being chanted. We see how the kirtaniyas are thriving all over the world now. Even yoga groups and anyone who interested in alternative consciousness, they're accepting more and more this chanting of the holy name. And in Vrindavan, we have the 24-hour kirtan. And in the morning time, especially after class, very ecstatic from 9 till noon time. I mean, chanting the holy name is ecstatic all the time. But then the evening from 5 to 7, it seems to peak out, and devotees, guests, pilgrims, everybody is relishing the nectar of the holy name. So they would chant one round in the samadhi all around, come and see, take darshan of Prabhupada, go to Prabhupada's house. Prabhupada's house is very beautiful. So Vrindavan Dham, besides all the cars and horns and noise and people and pollution and all the externalities, so you've got to perform sacrifices to go to the Dham. You know, you got to take a long trip on the airplane, get over your jet lag, find a decent place, hope the monkeys don't steal your glasses on the way to your room so you can see your combination lock. Because now the monkeys are expert to steal your glasses, not only in Loy Bazaar, but also right in the property. I know Gopal Krishna Maharaj and I were walking to Radha Damodar Temple. We were in the Parikram path. I was next to Maharaj, and the monkey jumps on his back, ready for his, get his glass. I had my japa bag and slapped the monkey in the head. I apologize, but you know, I'm just trying to save Maharaj. But anyway, this is Braj. It's a very incredible, unique place. So Narada Muni was very eager to always be in Dwarka because he felt the presence of Govinda. But these are special monkeys. These are transcendental monkeys, fallen sages maybe. But also, we are very eager to be in Prabhupada's temple because we feel the loving embrace of Govinda, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar, Shishi Gorni Tai, be in the kirtan, and be appreciative to have an opportunity to render some service. So I'm always trying to encourage when devotees come, I tell them, you know, spend some time in Vrindavan. Devotees are eager to hear about Prabhupada and Prabhupada's pastimes. Few senior devotees are left next 10 years. We had our 40th anniversary for opening Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's so nice to see Sarabi and Brahmananda Prabhu and Purumarupa and all the rest. And just months after that, Brahmananda left and Sarabi left, Purumarupa left. Many others too. We're all going to leave. None of us are staying permanently, although we may think we're so young and full of vitality. I got lots of years left. I'm only 70. I can live up to 100, it says Kali Yuga, whatever. But you could die at any moment. Life is very unpredictable. It's danger at every step. We should see that, and we should take it very, very seriously, that this short lifetime that I have, whether it's 100 years or 100 minutes, that we should take it as a warning, as Parikshit Maharaj got indication that I'm leaving, you're leaving for sure in 7 days. Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm going to sit down and inquire about what is the goal of life. And he was so fortunate that Shukadeva Goswami gave him blessing, benediction. And Krishna, in his heart, in the heart of Shukadeva Goswami, and all the sages came, everybody came to hear what is the goal of life. So here, we're also part of this as well. We're sitting here with a king of Vadeha, trying to hear and appreciate Narada Muni, and all the Navayogendras are coming to deliver the message of Godhead and how to achieve the perfection of life. And we think, how we can miss that, you know? People want to go, hey, have you seen the new movie this, or have you seen the new movie that? This is the new exciting occurrence happening here, that Narada Muni is given opportunity to Vasudev, or to King of Vadeha, and Navayogendra are going to speak so beautifully, eloquently. Anyone who is reading and hearing Bhagavatam from Srila Prabhupada or from the devotees, he feels great happiness and great satisfaction. So we should all be very happy enthusiastic. Prabhupada wanted devotees to be, that when one's making spiritual advancement, he's joyful, very joyful. If we're lamenting that we're not more advanced, lamenting that we're not taking better advantage or opportunity, lamenting that we have a fault-finding mentality and critical of so many, but hope and pray that we can go over to Vrindavan soon, book your tickets, please come visit, and take shelter of the arms of Sri Sri Radha Shyamasunda, Gonitai, Krishna Balaram. Of course they're here, same, trying to equate. And forgive my poor attendance. I'm up in New York every weekend, and the grandkids and the calls and emails from India come early. So somehow or other, I find myself going back to Braj in a few weeks. But I feel fortunate to have Livid Association here of everyone. Thank you for allowing me to speak. So any questions, comments, corrections?
So, very nice class. So, it seems like all the mundane curse does not apply in Dwarka. I mean, Narad Muni got curse from the Kalakonna, the daughter of the time.
Yes.
She wanted to marry, but Narad Muni refused, and she cursed, Daksha curse. So, those are not applicable in spiritual abode. So, my question was that how do we, what is a practical application that we can use ourselves voluntarily withdrawing the cursing mentality before it happens, not after?
It's a learning process that when you have that mentality, when it crops up and you see it, and sometimes point it out, you know, that really shouldn't, you know, speak that way or curse that way or consider that way. Then within our own heart sentiment, our own mind, we start thinking, yeah, you're right, you know, that I should become Trinadapisu Nichina Tarodapisu Hishina. I should become humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and ready to offer all respects to others. Just those three lines, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is clearing our path that, you know, that, well, first thing to learn it, how to become more humble. And humble means that you're just eager to serve everyone. You're not considering yourself some big, important personality. I was thinking, boy, I did the Guru Puja, and I got to wash the plate paraphernalia. In Vrindavan, someone would wash it for me. What am I doing here washing the plate paraphernalia? And I started beating myself. Boy, you should learn to become humble, you know. It's like we start thinking, we get a little position in this world. You know, I'm the, you know, chairman of this, or VP of that, or president of this, or I got initiation, you know, such and such year, or whatever. Then we start getting this pride, and we lose our scope of humility, and then we're not ready to offer our respects to others because we think it minimizes or puts us down or something like that. But it's a nice position to be in, to be a servant, gopi, bharati palagamanu, das, 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 and a servant of the servant of the servant. You feel very protected and very satisfied. You know, like a little dog who curls up, he knows he has your protection and guidance, and you can see he's very content. So trying to become more than what you are, like the Goswamis were all big, big men, very advanced. But he thought, we're such fools, we know nothing, we don't even know who we are, what the goal of life is. So we learn by example, by great acharyas. We can see Prabhupada's humility, your worthless servant, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that I have no love or devotion, but somehow you've sent me here. So whatever our duty is, we've been allowed or sent by Prabhupada. So we carry it out in that same mood of, you know, humility. And if again, due to ignorance or blindness, we make the same mistake and criticize, then feel free to apologize. I'll give you a practical example. I had to chastise my dear godbrother, Gargamuni Prabhu. He's in Vrindavan. He's giving classes just to go through, but somebody had a little question about some of the content of the class just to go through. So I called and talked to him and said, you know, really, class is meant for glorification of the process of devotional service, glorifying Prabhupada, and not a forum or a place to discuss, you know, whether, you know, black rights or white supremacy or, you know, police brutality or, you know, this devotee's offensive because he didn't do this, he didn't do that. You know, everyone's got an opinion about everything. And so he became a little upset because I was maybe a little too authoritative, thinking myself to be an authority of some sort. And then I got a few emails, oh, you should, you know, speak to him. He's feeling disturbed. So I called him the next day. I said, I apologize for my, you know, strong voice. I still don't agree with you, but I do apologize. So it's not a bad thing to be man enough or to apologize, as they say. Recognize that I've said something or I've done something that's not really acceptable in the Vaishnava community and shastrically proven. I probably went a little beyond. Anyway, let me take it as a lesson and accept it that, yes, I misbehave and please forgive me. So sometimes it's difficult for one's ego to come to that point of actually recognizing that he is not all perfect and maybe you've made a mistake. I hope I didn't go too long on your answer. Namaste Prabhu.
You've been in Vrindavan since what, 95?
93.
93. It's a long time. There's a quote in the Navadvipa Mahatmya. I wanted to get your insight from having lived in Vrindavan for so long. Bhajanot Thakur says that that Sri Dham Mayapur in Kali Yuga has the most Shakti of any dhams. And as Kali Yuga progresses, that Shakti keeps increasing. Whereas the other dhams, there's more of a Mayak covering that keeps coming. So I guess it's more difficult to access the dham. And you know, maybe there's high-rise apartment buildings, you know, like Bollywood music blaring or whatever. But I'm wondering what your realizations are there. Because I perceive Vrindavan Dham Shakti in you, you know, when you're speaking, so many years of purification. Not an easy place to be a temple president, for sure. Many have come and gone, but you've been at it for a long time. You've been in there. So I'm wondering what your... I've paraphrased that quote, but it's really close.
Well, Mayapur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very, very merciful. Doesn't take the offenses of devotees, but don't take advantage of that. As Prabhupada would often say, don't take advantage. And in Vrindavan Dham, yes, you know, your chanting is magnified 1,000 times. Your reading, your devotional service, your positive devotional enthusiasm is so much increased. But then so are the offenses. You see a lot of monkeys, pigs, dogs. And when we came in 93 to live there, it was more of a village setting, peacocks everywhere, hardly vehicles, you know, people walking in the around and rapi, the dust of the sand, and around doing parikrama. So many wonderful experiences. But as the time and Kali Yuga is progressing, and people are, in one sense, it's like a catch-22. Prabhupada's books are spreading. The preachers are preaching at universities, colleges. Namahatta is expanding. So more and more people want to come and see what is Krishna's birthplace. Genuinely, they want to see what is all this commotion about, all this singing, dancing. And, you know, instead of going to the casino on the weekend or going on some, you know, cruise ship, people take it as an outing from Delhi and from other suburban areas to come to Vrindavan just to experience the temple and the chanting. And although they visit the other temples, when they come into Krishna Balaram Mandir, it's like turning the light on, you know, it's like all of a sudden their hair starts standing on end and they find themselves dancing, their feet won't stop. It's like that. People actually get really moved by the intensity. So I recommend if you're in Vrindavan and you're not getting as much, you know, as you said, unlimited mercy as they're getting in Mayapur, that mercy is there. But stay in the temple and chant with the devotees, hear with the devotees, you know, be part of the whole reason why we're there. Okay, you might have some business in Loy Bazaar or go here or there. You want to go to Govardhan or Radhakund. Okay, these things happen, but it's not that we should be in a tourist mentality. We should be in a service mentality and just really appreciate that Prabhupada was so happy to establish Krishna Balaram Mandir so that devotees from all over the world can come, charge their batteries. Now we try to charge our phones and stuff. So we have to charge our batteries and have a backup battery with you at all times, okay, in case you lose your charge of enthusiasm. You need to plug in the backup battery. And that happens. It really does. There's a lot of senior, a lot of nice devotees, and the atmosphere is still, doesn't matter how much bush grows over the diamonds and jewels. The diamonds and jewels are still diamond jewels and very, very transcendentally effulgent. So if you're there for that purpose, you're experiencing, you know, the Braj, that it's on a different level anyway. It's not just the cars and the pollution and the beggars and the loudspeakers, you know, the insanity that goes on, because I live just outside the temple. So sometimes I'm on my motorcycle or some, you know, walking, whatever it might be. But my recommendation is you stay there, see the deities, attend the program, chant with the devotees, take prasad with devotees, and then you'll experience the blessing of Braj. It's still available, might be covered over a little bit, you know, due to Kali Yuga. I don't know if I answered your specific question, but that's my... All right, till next year, everyone. Thank you. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. I had to use you. I like your class so much. I had to use some of your classes.